It's called Fear versus Faith. Fear versus faith. Now, you have to understand, church, the opposite of fear is not courage necessarily, but faith expressed in love and trust. Because when you love and when you trust, then you have courage. That's worth the price of admission right now. Courage comes because we know we're loved, because we know we're surrounded in God. Now, I need to say that there's that inexpressible tension that's in the air again. I don't know if you feel it, if you sense it. You know, it's that, when's the next spike? What about the schools? How come we have to wear masks all the time? Which is the next store that's going to mandate masks? And the chill is in the air. But I want you to know, church, that we're rising up. And we can conquer this chill in the air because faith is rising. Hallelujah. School's starting, what, next week, this week? And then there's that, who's homeschooling, who's not? Who can go, who can't? Do we have to wear masks out of social distancing? How many can be in a class? We're going to Ontario. In how many hours now, Tammy? Yeah, how many hours? Mandated masks on the plane. Duh. It's lockdown in Ontario, so you know what? I will submit, I will honor, but inside I'm not wearing a mask. Okay? Like inside, I'm not wearing it. I have resistance inside, but you know what? I will honor and submit. Fear, I learned this years ago. And this is very, very important. Is this thing going to work for me? You might have to do it manually. Can't get it to work. So can somebody operate? Can someone go over there and operate it manually, please? And we'll go to our second slide. There we are. Fear and faith are the same in that, number one, both fear and faith. I remember hearing this years ago, and it's very, very important. You got to get this. They both are a product of our focus. What are you focusing on, fear or faith? As Stephen Furtick said numbers of weeks ago, it's a showdown between what you fear, what you feel, and what God spoke. And the winner is determined. The winner in you is determined by what you focus on. Listen to me. Faith doesn't eliminate the distraction, but it shifts the attention. Still there, but I'm not going to focus on it. Come on. Come on. It's still there, but I'm not going to focus on it. I'm going to focus on him. And you know this so well. They're both believing what you don't see will happen. Fear, faith. They're both believing what you don't see will happen. It's being directed by the unseen. And that's a positive or that's a negative. It's the what if factor. What if the earth falls in? What if the sky falls in? What if? What if God brings the miracle power? Resurrection power. See, what if can work either way. Faith and fear are totally opposite. Oh, come on. Now we're getting into the good stuff. Totally opposite in that their fruit is completely different. You see, the fruit of fear, panic, rage, anger, hurt, terror. You see the fruit of faith, trust, confidence, hope. Hallelujah. Faith in God unleashes his power. Fear is all shadows. It's all illusion. Do you hear me today? Someone needs to hear that right there. I felt the Lord just drop that in my heart. Somebody needs to hear that right now. The enemy has no power. Listen to me. The enemy has no power other than what we give him. Can we pause here for half an hour? Can we just take that in? The enemy has no power other than what we give him. If he plants fear in our hearts and we let it stick, then we run with it and the enemy's won. But I got some good news. I believe that there's a house. I believe that there's a courageous people that are not going to let. They're not going to be Velcro. They're going to be Teflon to those things planted where it comes against us and it bounces right off. See, faith takes you to great heights, but fear gets you nowhere. And this is our scripture today. And Paul said, what then shall we say in response to this? What then shall we say in response to the last 4 weeks when we're talking about the power of faith over fear? If God is for us, then who can be against us? See, I'm struggling right now because the camera's on and I only can move 1 foot this way or 1 foot this way. I feel trapped. I feel snared in right now. So you just got to think. You just got to believe that I'm animated and jumping all over this room right now. If God is for us, who can be against us? In other words, if God's for us, it doesn't matter who's against us. Now, understand that statement is not in reference to our series necessarily about fear. But Paul is talking about God's love in that chapter and how he will turn things around for us. We're going to speak about that in the next couple of weeks and how Holy Spirit totally helps us all the time, get us out of ruts. Holy Spirit can fix our messes. Holy Spirit can renew our life. And in every situation, God can make it great. And if God is for us, then who can be against us? Do I have the quotes? Oh, I love this one. I read this a couple of years ago. Worry is the misuse of our imagination. See, again, it's what we focus on. And I got my master's degree and my PhD in fussing and worrying growing up. Okay, my graduate work in fussing and worrying. Aren't you glad that Jesus came in and removed it? Worry is the misuse of our imagination. Now, church, listen to me today. This is our takeaway. Feed your faith and your fear will starve. I'm not even going to do it the other way around. We're going to leave it in the positive. Feed your faith and your fear will starve. All right. Now we're ready for today's message with 9 minutes left. Hallelujah. Don't cheer. I've wanted to preach David and Goliath since the day I got here, since the day we got here to Sylvan Lake 6 years ago next week. Come on. They're watching on YouTube. You got to be louder than that. I wanted to preach this message ever since I got here, but you know what? It's tough. It preaches so good, you know, the courage and the might of David beating the giant. But you got to have the perfect time to preach this message. You can't preach it on Stewardship Sunday. You can't preach it when you are teaching on the fruit of the Spirit. See, I'll show you, it doesn't work. And the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, killing, patience. See, it doesn't work. Patience, kindness, destroying, goodness, faithfulness, war, gentleness, and self-control. It's a little tough. But today's the day. This is the message when you need some courage. This is the message when you need to know whose you are. It's fighting the good fight. It's about having courage from Jesus. It's the that's my Rocky. I'm going to break into Eye of the Tiger here in a minute. If you just get rising up. I feel it. It's that rocky moment where you can feel it's the underdog beating the giant. It's good against evil. It's God against the devil. Hey, guess what? It's fear against faith. Now, you're going to start to enjoy this church. Somebody. David and Goliath, if you have your Bibles, if you have your phone, I need you to do me a favor. Go to 1 Samuel 17. We're going to go through the entire chapter. Okay? I'm going to do like Pastor Terry did last week, and he navigated because if he can do it, I can do it too. He went through the entire chapter of the one he was studying, and you need to know that we are going to go through this entire chapter too, piece by piece, and we're going to find nuggets in 1 Samuel 17 that maybe you never noticed before because we just knew it was the kid's story of David and Goliath. Here we go. Now, Goliath represents fear in today's story. But more than that, more accurately, it's actually King Saul's response to this formidable foe is the issue of fear. David represents faith, courage. Just even when I said it, there was just something inside that went, a lowly shepherd boy, Rocky Balboa, in Rocky 12, beating the giant. It's a lowly shepherd boy who just believed his God. Oh, Father in heaven. Let me help a few people that potentially are uninformed. This actually happened. This is not just a tale. It's not a fairy tale. It's not a cute little kid's story. This actually happened. It's not metaphorical language to try to get some sort of point across. I'm doing the homework of this, and I'm going into different studies. And invariably, they said the fictional story of, the fictitious story of. But I got good news. This actually happened. Now, I'm 6'4", but the giant, Goliath, was over 9 feet tall. That's tall. Now, I just want to take a few moments just to give you a little bit of context, and then we're going to go right into the word. He was the reigning champion of the Philistine people, and the Philistines hated God and hated his people. Does it sound familiar? You know that there's an enemy out there? The setting is a battlefield, no different than Vimy Ridge of the First World War. But it isn't the sound of bombs and artillery. It's not even the sound of roars and swords, smashing of armor like you would in a battle. But it's the eerie sound of terror. In that two mountains and in that valley was terror. King Saul, consumed in fear, paralyzed about the enemy. And the story begins. 1 Samuel 17, verse 1. I'm reading from the New Living today. Verse 1. The Philistines now mustered their army for battle. Verse 2. Saul countered by gathering his Israelite troops near the valley of Elah. So the Philistines and the Israelites faced each other on opposite hills with the valley between them. Then Goliath, a Philistine champion from Gath, came out of the Philistine ranks to face the forces of Israel. He was over 9 feet tall. Listen to this. Watch this. He wore a bronze helmet, and his bronze coat of armor weighed 125 pounds. His armor weighed 125 pounds. A lot of people don't even weigh that. He also wore bronze leg armor. He carried a bronze javelin on his shoulder. The shaft of his spear was as heavy and as thick as a weaver's beam, tipped with an iron spearhead that weighed, the spearhead weighed 15 pounds. Now, Tammy just bought one of those kettles, right? Those weight kettles? Kettlebell. I'm with it. It was 15 pounds. Can you imagine the end of the spear weighed that weight? That was a strong man. His armor bearer walked ahead of him carrying the shield. Isn't that thanks a lot? Yeah, he's the first one to go. Goliath stood, now listen to this, verse 8. Goliath stood and shouted a taunt across to the Israelites. "Why are you all coming out to fight?" he called. "I'm a Philistine champion, but you are only the servants of Saul." First point, the curse of comparison. Don't compare. Don't compare. You will either see yourself in a good light or you'll see yourself in a bad light. Don't compare. That's your takeaway today. All you have to do is be more like Christ every day. They saw the people. They saw the warriors. Big Goliath, little Saul. And he goes on to say, "Choose one man to come down here and fight me." Verse 9, "If he kills me, then we will be your slaves. But if I kill him," see, it's man against man. Man against man, forcing the comparison. And Goliath knew that he could destroy any man. "But if I kill him, you will be my slaves." Verse 10. You got to get this word. Goliath went, "I defy the armies of Israel today. Send me a man who will fight me." When King Saul, and the Israelites heard this, the Bible says they were terrified and deeply shaken. See, they were consumed with what they saw, not what they knew. They were consumed with what they saw with their natural eye. They weren't taking a hold of what they knew with their spiritual lens. Do you remember when the Israelites were going to go and they were going to search out the new land? And 10 came back and said, "They're giants, they're monsters, we can do nothing." And 2 came back and said, "We can take them." Because they saw something different with their spiritual eyes. Fast forward all the way to verse 32. 1 Samuel 17, verses 32. I like what David said. Here's a man, 16, 17, 18 years of age. He said, "Don't worry about the Philistines." David told Saul, "I will go and fight them. I have done this to both lions and bears." Oh my. Lions, tigers, and bears, oh my. Come on, work with me. "And I will do it to this pagan Philistine as well." There's that word again. "For he has defied the armies of the living God." Are you feeling it grow? Are you feeling it build? Verse 37. "The Lord who rescued me from the claws of lions and bears will rescue me this day from this Philistine." Verse 41. "Goliath walked out towards David with his shield bearer ahead of him, sneering in contempt at this ruddy-faced boy." Ruddy means freckled and red-haired. I always thought that meant rugged or good-looking. It's actually ruddy, meaning a freckled boy. Can you imagine an Israelite, red-haired, freckled boy? My brother is red-haired, freckled boy. Verse 42, 43. Am I a dog, he roared at David, that you come to me with a stick? See, there's lots of theories on the sling. And prior to my research this week, I thought, and it could very well have been a stringed sling, you know, the one that we see oftentimes in the stories or in the movies, and David, he grabs it, and he flings it like this. He flings it, and then lets go of the one string, and it shoots out the rock. Other commentaries and other people say it had to have been on a stick, and there were slings on sticks. And it had to be on a stick because if he had a stick and a sling, he would be handbound. And he cursed David with the names of his God. Come over here and I'll give your flesh to the birds and to the wild animals, Goliath yelled. David replied, verse 45, you come to me, listen to me. Listen to me, church. You come to me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord. Oh, there is a message right there in that verse. You come to me with might. You come to me with intelligence. You come to me with intimidation. You come to me with the forces of this world, but I come to you in the name of the Lord. Somebody say amen. Oh, come on. Oh, come on. It's not by might. It's not by power. It's by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts, the word says. I come to you in the name of the Lord of heaven's army, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. I looked up defied. It's open refusal to obey. It's to mock. It's the posture of arrogance. It's to sneer in contempt, as it says in the word. It's loathing. It's condescending. Does someone else sound like that? That is the personality. That is the kindness of the devil. I'm going to say it again. Loathing, condescending, arrogant, sneering, mocking. That's the voice. If you hear that voice inside, trust me and know full well. That's the enemy. That's the enemy of your soul. You shut his mouth in Jesus' name and you listen to a God who can give you power and strength. Verse 46, today the Lord will conquer you and I will kill you and I'll cut off your head. As Goliath moved closer to attack, David quickly ran to meet him. Verse 48, two reasons I believe that David ran quickly to meet him. Number one, and hear this today, whatever you're going through, hear me today. If it's COVID, or if it's a marriage issue, or if it's a family issue, or if it's a financial issue, or if it's an addiction issue, or if it's a struggle, hear this today. Confront that issue head on. Don't shrink back. Don't live in denial. Don't live in excuses. Be tenacious. Go after that thing like a pit bull. And the other reason he got closer is that he could have a better shot. Here it is. I've been waiting for this all day. In fact, I've been waiting for this all week. Five stones. Well, I was in our front garden, and I picked the five best stones of the lot. I'm vacillating between this one or this one. All right, which one should I whip? Okay, that's the one I will. Actually, this was the one I picked too. All right. Can you bring this thing back? Is this one on? Can you put this one back on? Can you? Can you? Can you? Can you? Can you? And the story goes, reaching to his shepherd bag and taking out a smooth stone, the Bible says, oh, come on. You want me to? You want me to?
Yes, yes.
Whack! Whack! laser precision. Thank you. Thank you. You're beautiful. Thank you very much, sound team. Razor precision, and the Bible says, and it hit the Philistine in the forehead. And the stone sank into his forehead, and he stumbled and fell to the ground face first. This is a strong, powerful man, because you think about that. First of all, it says he stumbled for a moment and then fell. If I was hit by a stone from a skilled sling, I'd be down instantly. But he went down. Here's the takeaway today, church, and we finish with this. In fact, you know what? Worship team, come on back. We're done. Oh, this is good. Slung that thing with razor accuracy. He hit the Philistine in the forehead. The stone sank in, and Goliath stumbled and fell to the ground. Get this today, church. Get this, whoever is listening on YouTube. All his previous training came to his aid for one of the most defining moments of his life. All his previous training of growing up, being a shepherd boy, and killing bears, and killing wolves, and lions, or whatever, that came to his aid then. Oh, what does that mean today? Those days that you fortified yourself in peace or in other trials, those times that you have fortified yourself, it has gotten you ready for the battle ahead. Somebody say amen. You can fight the battle, but you can only fight the battle if you fortified yourself in those days previous, where you have trained, where you have equipped. When the storm comes, you can have strength because you have been equipped by the lover of your soul, by the fortress of Christ in you in those weeks and days and months and years prior. So it says in verse 50, David triumphed over the Philistine with only a sling and a stone. He had no sword. And then David ran over, pulled out Goliath's sword. There's a message there. Pulled out the enemy's actual sword. And David used it to kill him, cutting off his head. What monster do you need the head cut off today? What in your life today is the monster? Is it fear? Is it an issue? Is it unforgiveness? What is the monster that you've got to cut that head off? See, the stone didn't kill him. It knocked him unconscious. Now, granted, he wasn't in probably very good shape after he was hit with the stone. But he wasn't killed until he sliced off his head with the enemy's own sword. And that speaks volumes to me today. Don't give the enemy any ground. Don't give him any wiggle room. Oh, put this in your phone today. Get this. This is tweetable today. Cut that fear off right now. Whatever it is. Is it an addiction issue? Is it a poor attitude issue? Is it an unforgiveness issue? Cut that thing off right now. Don't let it hang around. Fix it. Finish it. Sever it today. Take the axe to the root. It's the breaking of the habit of going back to the familiar. How many times have you gone back to the familiar? The familiar of a habit. The familiar of self-deprecating behavior. The habit of putting yourself down. The habit of putting someone else down. The habit of running from a situation. Take an axe to it right now. Fear or faith, it's all about perspective. See, it was the same giant. Same giant. Just the Israelites saw it through natural eyes. David saw it through spiritual eyes. Whoa! Mike, would you come on up here? Fear or faith, they compete for allegiance. They compete for occupancy. Make room for faith and displace fear with faith.
This morning I woke up with a word on my heart. You can ask Todd, but we have not talked about each other's message at all.
Come on.
I knew it was about fear, and that's it. Anyway, just before I begin, the number 5 in the Bible is generally understood to represent grace. So when I get to the end, just remember that it's about grace. So I keep hearing, and maybe you can understand why, but in my spirit, I keep hearing the words, Covenant 2019. Covenant 2019, over and over this year. Other people are hearing maybe COVID 2019, but I'm hearing Covenant 2019.
Oh, come on.
And so the Lord has told me to look back at 2019 and the promises that I have given my people, the promises that I give you as a church, prophetic words, and I want you to study that and study that. And so most of you know, I guess anybody who's been walking with the Lord knows that he's got a pretty awesome sense of humor. So this morning when I woke up, I kept hearing the words, what time is it, Mr. Wolf? And it's like, and I mean, we've probably, everybody in this room has played the game, what time is it, Mr. Wolf? And it, my mind being back at the covenant, one of the big things that struck me was, I think there's only one time in the history of Sylvan Lake that pretty much the entire town of Sylvan Lake was awake at 5:55 in the morning. And I don't know if you guys remember the earthquake of 2019, but it happened at 5:55. And so I love numbers. I love tracking God. I got so much stuff about that earthquake in my notes. But when he asked me what time it was, that was the first thing that came to my mind was, it's 5:55 a.m. And he gave me, at the time, he told me what the 5s represented. And this is where it ties in with Todd, what Todd has to say today. This is what I felt in spirit that he said, but there's 5 books of Moses. And is what David did so well was he studied those books of Moses. He studied the word of God. And it says they were 5 smooth stones. They were washed. So he took those 5 books of God that were written at that time, and he studied them in the field, and that's how he killed the lion and the bear. His identity was not found in the lion. He could have been scared of the lion. He could have been scared of the bear. But his identity was in Jesus, because he actually, what prophet spoke more about Jesus than David? And he found his identity was in Christ. And so when he was looking at Goliath, his identity wasn't in the fear. And I guess that's a message that was really strong for me this week. I didn't know I was doing any of this. And it's a message for you, and it goes right along with what Todd's saying, is that if our identity is going to be found in our fear, then we're going to be crushed by it. He's huge.
Come on.
He's 10 feet tall, and he looks bulletproof. But our identity has got to be in what Christ says. He's seen what Christ had done for him, and his identity was in Christ. He's seen that he was going to birth a faith. And so there's the 1-5 is the 5 books of Moses. The second 5 is when he studied those, he had those 5 stones that he pulled from the ground, smooth stones that were, they were tried. And he threw, how many stones? He just threw the one, and I believe it was the shepherd's stone, the pastor's stone, because it's representing these 5 stones. I believe they also represent the 5-fold ministry and how he was going to wake up the 5-fold ministry. Woo! With that first stone. But the key is not to look at our fears, not to find our identity in what's coming at us, but have our identity that's coming from Christ. And so.
Yeah, come on, stand, church. Thank you. Thank you, Mike. Amen. All right, come on. Let's sing this song. Let's believe this. Let's get a breakthrough this morning.